And I know he will. So, if you will, for tonight, just for a few minutes, but turn to page in the book of Genesis, chapter 35. Speaking of Jacob and Bethel, and chapter 35 in verse 1 in Genesis. Y'all pray that we will mind the Lord this year, and we'll do what the Lord has asked us to do and lead, guide, and direct us, because the Lord has definitely blessed us. And I mean, I don't know of any other church, this small church, to where the Lord has blessed no more, as much as he has us. And I still say today, the reason the Lord blesses is because we do exactly what he asked us to do. And biblically, and I love supporting missionaries, I really do. I love a missionary. Because they are over in a land where I right now I don't see where I could go. But one of these days, I'm going to a land. I'm going to a far country. One of these days. Until then, I'm going to try my very best to be about the Lord's business. But here in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 1, it says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou feedest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange God and that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thou in an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, and all the earrings which were in thy ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was in Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the city that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because thy God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother." And verse 12, and says, in the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give it the land. And God, in verse 13, and God went up from him in the place where he talked with them. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering down, and he poured oil down. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. Now, Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you just give me the words to say. Father, we'll draw each one of us to you, Father, and to your will, Lord, that will encourage us to go forward in 2016, and Father, and do some of the things that we failed to do in 2015, Father. And Father, we just want to thank you and want to love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Here we see where God is talking to Jacob. And not only is God talking to Jacob, but God is also talking to Jacob about Bethel, the house of God. We need to realize also some things that when God speaks to us about anything, if it's visiting or whatever it is, we have to remember that God is doing it for the house of God, for his house of worship, so his son can be lifted up. His son can be glorified in it. And it says down here in verse 5, it says, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. They was on a journey. Jacob was on a journey back then. Even the individuals that was following Jacob then, they was on a journey. We're on this same journey today as Jacob was. In a journey that we're on, we may see things today that maybe Jacob didn't see. We face some obstacles today that Jacob didn't face, but he did face obstacles. And we need to realize that we need an oak tree. We need an oak tree somewhere close to us, to where we can gather around and where we can lift up our prayers toward heaven, and where God can hear us, where we can get up under that oak tree. I can go back and I can remember some of the old-timey ones talking about the old oak tree around the church. Excuse me. I can remember I went one time to hear Brother Mays Jackson. Brother Mays Jackson said something. And he says he believes that one of the reasons, and one of the reasons the churches are hurting, and he says, when I'm speaking about the church hurting, I'm speaking of the individual Christian. And he said the reason the individual Christian today is hurting is because the church has cut down the oak tree that stood for stability, that stood for strength, it stood for courage, it stood for something. It could not be easily pushed over or anything like that. But you see today, when a hurricane comes up or when a bad windstorm comes up, what happens? It'll push that old oak tree down. Don't make no difference how long that oak tree's been standing. It doesn't make no difference how old that oak tree is standing. What the problem was is when individuals, when they went out and they planted the tree, they don't plant it deep enough. They're not rooted and they're not grounded enough. Just like us, we're not rooted and we're not grounded enough in God's Word. You say, well, preacher, I've heard God's Word all my life. Don't tell me that I'm not grounded and I'm not rooted in the Word of God. Well, we got to look at it that way. We're not. We are not rooted and grounded in His Word like we should be. Because if we're worried, it's not nobody's individual fault. It's not your fault. It's not my fault. But I believe that we as individuals have forgot about some things. And the first thing is that I see that we're not hungry enough. We're not hungry enough for God. We're not hungry enough for His Word, to where we're willing to go out and do what it takes. We'll come up with some kind of excuse and we'll say, well, I can't go this afternoon. I've got to go here and I got to go there. I got to meet. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I should not allow me going and going to the store, going to Lowe's or Walmart or wherever, and putting what God has spoken to me about on the second burner. No, He needs to be first. He needs to be number one in our life. That's the reason He saved us. That's the reason He blesses each one of us each and every day, is because He wants to continue to bless us. And He wants to bless us more than what He has blessed us. He wants to take that storehouse that is set there in heaven, and He wants to pour out His blessings upon each one of us. He has it. He has enough of His, He has enough of His blessings to go around. But we don't think He does at times. We don't think He does because of the way we treat Him, the way I treat Him at times. We need to just not worry about everything else. We need to remember one thing. That we need to be hungry for the individual that is lost. We need to be hungry enough that we'll do everything that we possibly can to lead them to the Lord. If that means that we don't do nothing but just go there and just speak to them and just tell them, that we just thought we'd come by and just see how they was doing. You don't have to know them. We don't have to know them as a friend. We don't have to know them and what they do and nothing like that. God will give us the words to say in His own time. But a whole lot of times we'll run people away when we start on them about church. Because I'm going to tell you something. Once we walk into the house, we should not condemn them. We should not say anything wrong about this or that. Oh yeah, they may have a Playboy app, but we should not say anything about it. They may have a can or two of beer that's sitting around, but we don't have the right to say anything to them. Why? Because there, where they're at, is their castle. It's their domain. That's where they're at. They own their own domain. We don't have the right to say anything to them. The only time that we have the right to say anything to anybody about the objects that I've just said is to a Christian that we know that they confess to be saved. They profess to know the Lord. Then we can bring it to their attention. Well, you know, the Lord is not pleasing with that garbage. The Lord is not pleasing with the strong drink. We should not say anything at all to anyone about anything, because we don't know their heart. We don't know their circumstance. What we do know is what we see. And what we feel like that we do know is that they're hurting. You know, people out here today, they're hurting to the point you can see it in their expression, in the face. They don't have to say anything. They don't have to tell you what kind of problems they are having. They don't have to tell you if they've just lost their job. They don't have to tell you that they don't know where the next meal is coming from. They don't have to tell you. You can see it in the face. But what we have to do as a Christian, as a Christian, as the body of Christ, we must go to it and we must tell them. We won't be a friend to them. Just say, I don't know you. Just someone just be a friend to you. Like I've said many times before, you know, we can go and we can visit somebody that we know that's not in church. And as we visit them, we can ask them what goes on in the church. What goes on in our church? Or what goes on in the average church today? They can tell you right down to the time what goes on, what happens within the church. They can tell you about what time the pastor's going to end up having prayer. They're going to tell you about the time that the choir's going to sing. They can tell you about the time that they're going to have special singing. And yes, and they're going to tell you about the time the preacher gets up and preaches and how long he preaches. They can tell you all them things. They know all that. Why? That's what we tell them. And we've told them that for years. But one thing we haven't told them, and we failed to, what God has done for us. What God has done for me. You know, they need to, I mean, here the other day, I was down at, a couple weeks ago, I was down at Lowe's, yeah, Lowe's. And I met somebody down there. I thought I knew him. And I couldn't think of the name because it was so familiar. I went to school with him. And you know what he said to me? He said, "I heard you got saved." He said, "I heard that you started preaching." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm doing my very best to serve the Lord. I'm doing everything I can to please Him." I said, "But I come up short every day." I says, "What about you? Are you saved?" He said, "Yes, sir, I'm saved. I'm saved. I can take you right to the place right now, still standing." You know what it was? An oak tree was still standing. The church building was gone, but the oak tree was still standing. He said, "That's where I got saved at, around the oak tree." He said, "We'd gather around the oak tree and we would start praying. And then we'd start singing. And he said, we'd go into the church just to praying and just to singing as we walked inside the church." I know some of y'all can remember some of that, and some of what some of them talked about back years ago. That's what they done. Why? Because people love God. God has spoiled us to the point that we're so hungry today for the wrong things in life. We're so hungry. We don't know how to come up and come to the altar and just ask the Lord to help me this week. We don't know how to come up to the altar and say, "Lord, says my neighbor, the lost." They don't go to church nowhere. I just say they're lost. I don't know if they are or not. I just don't know. Well, Lord, help me that I'll go and visit them. The place. See, that's what this place is all about. This place, God's house, the house of prayer, Bethel, Bethel, is God's house. This is God's house, and we must come in, and we must be willing to please the Lord. Willing to please Him. Not please somebody else. If I'm here to please you, then I have failed you. I have failed God. Because I'm not supposed to please nobody else but God first. And then God will pour out the blessings. And not only will God pour out the blessings on me, but God will pour out the blessings on you all that I care so deeply for, that I'll go to battle for you. I'll fight for you. I'll speak up for the church. Because a pastor that will not speak up for his flock, and they will not speak up for the church that he's pastoring, he's not much of a pastor. He's not much of a Christian either. And he should not be running the church down. But they do it all the time. place of renewal. We need to come into God's house hungry to go out and to tell people that we love them. We care for them. We want the very best that we can give them. But I know, and tell them that I know somebody that can give you the very best that they have to offer and don't cost you a dime. Don't cost you one red cent. It's a place, the house of God's house is a place of reminding us what God has done for us. Reminding us from when we come to the house of God that there was a time in our life that we was lost. I was so lost. Even to this day, it still amazes me that God would, with all the individuals that there is in this world, that God would pick me and He would look down on me and say, "You need to get saved. I'm going to send my son to Calvary. I'm going to send my son to take a beating that you need to take." Did you realize that what the Lord Jesus went through, all the criticism, all the mocking and everything, and when they was taking the cattails and they was hitting him on his back and dragging it back through him and leaving gashes in his back. And then they went and plucked his beard out. And then they just went, and it doesn't say that they placed the crown of thorns. They put the crown of thorns on his head. And I do not believe them Roman soldiers, when they put the crown on his head, I just don't believe it says, "Jesus, this is going to hurt, but I've got to do it. Because if I don't do it, they're going to kill me." No, I believe they was commanded by Pilate to take that crown of thorns and raise it over the top of his head. And they took it and they planted it on the top of his head. And the thorns pierced his skin. He done that for me. He done all that for me. Then he went to the cross. He done that for me. He done it for you. Sister Betty, he done all of that for you. Sister Irma, he done it just for you. Sister Huff, he done it just for you. Sister Donna, he done it just for you. Brother Bill, he done it just for you. Sister Shelby, he done it just for you. He done it just for each one of us. Brother Jimmy, he done the same thing for you. If any one of us was the only individual, only human that was walking on the face of this earth, he would have still had to go through the same thing. Why? Because that was the commandment from God from the beginning of time. Because it tells us in chapter 3 in the book of Genesis where that there will be a day when he will take the devil and he will use the devil as his footstool. Right now, he's using the devil as his footstool. And sometimes he'll raise up he'll raise his feet up and allow the devil to come around and attack us. See, the devil doesn't come out of love. He comes as a beast. He comes as an individual that doesn't love you, that doesn't love me. He hates us. The individuals out here is lost. I mean, he don't hate them. Why? He already has them. See if he can get to any one of us and ruin our testimony anywhere at all. Then he will take that and use that. And on not only that, the Lord Jesus will say, "Son, I knew you just didn't have your faith. Continue on." See, the devil wants to attack me. See, the devil wants me to go out here and say, "Oh, we just running 8 or 9. No. We had 9 here for Sunday school. Nine this morning altogether. No, I'm not supposed to go ahead and say, "Well, that's all we had this morning was 9. No. How do you build up the church? Well, see, all you have to do is just say, "Well, I had between 2 and 100. But we did have 36 here this morning. Tonight we got 32 because we got 8. We got 32 here tonight. And you tell some people that and they say, "Well, what in the world are you talking about? 32 people. Now, if we had 32 people, I mean, we could really do something." We got 32. We got 32 individuals. God the Father is just as real as I am. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is just as real as you are and as I am. And the Holy Spirit is not an it, like a whole lot of people say it is. The Holy Spirit is just as real to me as my wife is to me. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit's more real to me than what my wife is. Because, see, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what I need. He knows exactly what I need to do. So, individuals say, well, you ain't got but eight there tonight. I disagree with you 100%. According to God's Word, and I'm not going to back down from it, according to God's Word, we don't have just eight. We have 32. That's what God says when He says, well, there are one and two. Where there is one, or where there is two, or where there is three, He is among us. He's in the midst. Where there is one, He's still in the midst. Because the Holy Spirit may be dealing to you about salvation. When you get saved, it's a different story. It's a different story altogether. Our Father, we want to thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Father, we pray, Lord, that You'll just help us, Father, to be the Christian. Father, that we can live the life before the people. As the people sees us, Lord, that they can see You in our daily walk, and in our countenance, in our smile, in our speech. Oh, Father, we do thank You for that. And Lord, we just ask Him, Father, that You would do something unusual here at Faith Baptist Church. Yes, Lord, I'd love to see some people just come in. I'd love to see some people just come in and walk the aisle, and Father, and bow down here at the altar and just get saved. And I'd love to see where they get saved and then they want to end up being baptized and then they want to end up following the Lord and just uniting with this church, Father. That's the only way the church ever grows. It does not grow in transferring a membership. A Father, it grows with souls being saved. And Father, that's the way that I would love for this church to grow. Father, we ask, Lord, now that You'll just bless the people. Be with them this week. In Jesus' name, amen.